This is Ozarks at Large. Much of this summer has been spent discussing the warm temperatures and drought that has become commonplace across the state. As the absence of large amounts of precipitation has continued, we've discussed what this means for a variety of people, most notably how the hot and dry weather is affecting agriculture. But some are finding ways to cope with the current situation. Ozarks at Large's Meredith Martin-Motes has this report on how some Little Rock residents have found new ways to continue gardening in the midst of a drought.
Little Rock is slowly becoming a city filled with gardens. Within just a few miles from my home are upwards of 5 vacant lots converted to sites of vegetable production, supplying food to neighborhood residents and to area locally grown markets. With record-breaking heat and drought, this summer has been challenging for even the most seasoned gardener, forcing everyone to experiment with new forms of production. As I look around at my own withering plants, I wonder how these community gardens, many of them recent startups, are approaching this uncertain climate future, implementing creative ways to keep us all fed.
On the edge, we have a white picket fence. And so we wanted to grow sunflowers along the edge of the fence so that when people drive by, they get to see them.
The Scott Bussey Garden is located in the Quapaw Quarter, a historic neighborhood of turn-of-the-century homes located near downtown. The sunflowers are nearly 10 feet tall or more, providing a bit of late afternoon shade to the nearby plants.
Huge. They look like tree trunks at this point.
Walking around their garden, the sight of around 60 tomato plants, wow, rows of eggplants, and the recently transplanted pumpkins, Liz Sanders and Ryan Dunn explain how they lucked into such a great location.
We rent the house next to the lot, and our landlords own both. And so they had, you know, approached us knowing that we both gardened and said, you know, would you guys be interested in doing something like this? We, of course, said yes. And so we pay water, and they're gracious enough to let us use it.
With virgin soil and lots of city compost, they started the garden on the empty lot next to their home, a former homestead they discovered of JPC, one of the men behind the historic Fuel and Sea grocery downtown. They grow all heirloom seeds purchased from Baker Creek, and in this first year of gardening, they've produced an excellent crop of tomatoes, onions, eggplant, okra, and peppers, just to name a few. They sell to the newly developed Bernice Market, one of Arkansas's only Sunday farmers markets, and to local restaurants all located within a few miles or less of their garden, including Loblolly Creamery, The Root Cafe, and Whitewater Tavern. A key component of their garden's success, they say, is the drip irrigation system.
We run it from the city water. So the water itself is actually set up as an irrigation account, which means we don't have to pay for the sewage or the other fees that like a normal homeowner would. So it's slightly cheaper per month.
It saves water in the end too, because you're only, you know, it's dripping on the plant itself, and so you're not overhead watering and it all just going out into the rows.
Taking a cue from fellow gardening friends in the area who've been experimenting with more heat and drought tolerant varieties, Liz and Ryan say they're considering growing more African vegetables next year.
But they're things that do really well. I mean, like okra, you know, is a plant, you know, from Africa originally. And so I think trying to really outsmart the weather in a sense, you know, not growing things that don't do well at this point.
Just a few miles from the Bussey Scott Garden is the Woodruff Community Garden. Located near a preschool and the Boys and Girls Club, the garden is a mixture of energy and calm, the sounds of nearby Interstate 630, a constant and distant hum. This garden is solely for community use, a mixture of 30 individual and communal plots producing beans, tomatoes, peppers, greens, and there's even a few honey-producing beehives on site.
Can you reach those?
Anita Southard picks grapes growing along the garden's fence rows. They're tart, punchy, and delicious. Living in the neighborhood, I know that every morning Anita is hard at work weeding, watering, harvesting, and taking care of the communal beds that help to feed our neighborhood. She recently retired from her career with WIC, becoming the de facto leader of the site.
As soon as I bought a house and could start a garden, I started reading everything I could get my hands on. I started out not being an organic gardener. For me, the word organic meant like organic chemistry. It's just, one, you don't wear out the soil. Two, you don't kill all the beneficial insects that you're going to need to help with other kinds of insects and for the pollination. And you can really build up the soil. I think that's has become really important to me, because the best soil in this place is from the compost that we made here at the garden.
As we walk through the garden, she points to some of the plots where they've used the on-site compost, nurturing a bed with numerous tomatoes, eggplants, and strategically planted sunflowers to help block the afternoon sun. In a nearby plot, another set of sunflowers is growing without the benefit of the thick bed of rich soil.
Those are the same sunflower as this one. It's just the soil and the water difference makes a big difference.
It does. They're a lot taller and fuller and...
Oh, yeah, they're like almost a foot across, those blooms, whereas these are maybe 3 inches.
Besides the rich bed of compost that helps to trap in moisture and the recently installed drip irrigation system, one of the biggest strengths of the Woodruff Garden is Anita's use of creative planting and shading.
Along the same trellis that, you know, supports my tomatoes, I've planted some Asian long beans. And they've got large leaves, and they helped shade the tomatoes. This one over here that I didn't have a trellis that would support that much, I just put an old sheer curtain over it.
As we continue to walk around the garden, it's clear that certain vegetable varieties are thriving, especially a hybrid tomato called the Juliet that hangs heavy from the loaded branches. The plants themselves look a little rough, with their yellowing and wilting leaves, but the tomatoes taste great. Pointing out the changing USDA zones, Anita notes the need to put out tomato plants much sooner than ever before.
I mean, I was used to really be really careful and never put out my tomatoes till the middle of April. Well, you might not get tomatoes if you wait that long now, because if it's a really warm spring or a really hot summer, the blooms won't set after it gets so hot, so... We had that problem last year. So we all put out tomatoes much earlier this year. Some in mid-March, but most of us really late March or early April.
Just a few streets over from the Woodruff Garden, sandwiched between residential areas that surround I-630 and UAMS, is a smaller lot set up on a hill. A hand-painted sign near the road reads, Victory Garden. Ryan Boswell heads up this site, selling to the local food club, market, and to nearby neighbors and friends.
We've got around 15 chickens, and there's a few ducks in there as well. We've got a rooster to keep all the neighbors alert.
Besides the chickens, this site is home to about 1,000 square feet of vegetable production. Like the other gardeners I've spoken to, Boswell focuses on healthy soil to help retain moisture, using a no-till sheet mulching method, as well as a permaculture-inspired German technique that he's trying out this year.
Hügelkultur, it's a German word. It's basically a raised bed, but it starts with a foundation of logs, like fallen tree branches. So you kind of form a mound out of that. You put your manure and everything else you want to decompose on top of that. And so it sort of builds up soil, but most importantly, it holds the moisture as it decomposes.
Ryan walks us over to the watermelon patch where he's been trying out this method.
Sorry.
Looking nourished and watered, the vines snake into the paths between the beds.
Today is the first time this has been watered in the last week since we've gotten rain, and it's no worse for the wear. So you can see that it's really held the moisture well, whereas everything else looks pretty sad and in desperate need of some water.
Like all the other growers I've spoken with, Boswell attempts to find varieties that will produce well despite the heat, and he's had great luck this year with the heirloom tomato, the Arkansas Traveler.
On top of that, we grow some drought-tolerant crops. Like this is sorghum right here. It has always been a part of the South, and it's done especially well in the heat, and it kind of doubles as we use it for chicken feed. They like to eat the seeds, so.
The Victory Garden is a new venture. It only began this year, but with close planting and experimental techniques to help build up healthy soil, Boswell has had a fruitful season. Starting a community garden during one of the hottest years on record, I ask him what he's learned about dealing with this extreme weather.
I don't think I've learned anything. I mean, if this is what we have to look forward to, we have a lot to learn about how to deal with it.
To see photos of the gardens and to learn more about some of the creative techniques mentioned in this piece, visit our webpage at ozarksatlarge.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Meredith Martin-Motes.
Meredith Martin-Motes is a regular contributor to Ozarks at Large from Central Arkansas. You can read more of her work at her blog, theboileddownjuice.com.